Voice of Reason Broadcast Network presents The Heretics Hour with Carolyn Yeager. Carolyn Yeager brings you news and commentary on Holocaust revisionism, World War II history, free speech issues, and more. And now, here's Carolyn.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn, and I have an excellent guest waiting to talk to you tonight. But before that, I want to do the Elie Wiesel Watch. I can report that last Monday, one brave soul who lives and works near Orange, California, ventured to Chapman University with flyers in hand, after writing to the Chapman University student newspaper and the Orange County Register, to whom I also sent letters, and attempted to give his flyers to students entering the building to hear Elie Wiesel pour forth on the horrors he witnessed in Auschwitz and Buchenwald and his human rights campaigns, which are really Jewish rights campaigns. This gentleman, our hero, tells me that the students were greeted at the door by several men in the manner people are greeted when entering a church for religious services. Can't you just picture it? I can. Our hero stood out of sight, and these men offered his flyers, but no one would take them. Only one young man said, "I'll read anything," took one, folded it up, and put it in his pocket. Then some administrative types came over and asked to see a flyer. One of them accepted it well, or pretended to. The other blanched upon seeing what it said. Shortly thereafter, campus security guards asked our friend to leave and go back to the street. As he was alone, he could do nothing but comply. And since I don't know the layout of the area, I don't know exactly where the street was, but that pretty much ended his protest. My friends, you know, if there were two or three others with him, and they held up some signs, it would have made a much bigger impression, even if no one took his flyers, because they could not help but see the signs. But this is a start, and I give great thanks to our St. George, who will remain nameless, but who says this is just the beginning of his anti-Wiesel efforts. Two upcoming Wiesel events that I want to alert you to are at the end of May, so people have plenty of time to get something organized for these Elie Wiesel appearances. The first one is on May 24th, where at Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where Wiesel is going to deliver the address, at the Lehigh University's commencement ceremony. And so that would be a good place for a group to join together and tell the truth about Elie. But the next one is a really big one, I think, really important, and would be wonderful to have a good-sized, at least a few people show up here. This is on May 31st, on Monday, it's a Monday, at the Beth Tzedek Synagogue in Toronto, Canada. So we need Canadians for this. And this is Elie Wiesel and Salman Rushdie, the man from what's that book, the Satanic Papers or whatever, that anti-Arab book that he wrote. I should have gotten that name, but I forgot to do so. And anyway, they're going to be in an open forum in this synagogue, moderated by former Prime Minister Byron Mulroney. He's the former Prime Minister of Canada. Why is he moderating it? Who knows? This is called a Spirit of Hope benefit. It's hosted by the Friends of Simon Wiesenthal Center for Holocaust Studies. The dinner begins at 5. It's followed by the main presentation at 7:30, which is going to, as I've said, feature Elie Wiesel and Salman Rushdie in some kind of a forum. I don't know how that works. But listen to this. The tickets cost $200 to $3,600 each. And this is going to be at the synagogue at 1700 Bathurst Street, south of Eglinton Avenue, for those of you who are familiar with Toronto. So, the, you know, these people really raise the money for their own projects. This is all money is going to Jews. You know that. Or Jewish. It's an entirely Jewish operation here. So I'm going to be reminding you of this, and I've already written to some people I know in Canada, but, you know, they live far away from there, and they can't do miracles. So anyone living in Toronto, or you know people living in Toronto, please pass this information on to them. And you can find this information at my website, CarolynJaeger.com. Okay, now on to my guest for tonight, who is a man who, along with his brother, is really in the forefront of the battle we are waging for truth and to expose the Jewish co-option of our American way of life. These brothers have a cable public access television program called The Weekly Show, where they really tell it like it is. And many of you are very likely familiar with this and have seen it. And I had seen one a long time ago, but I just became reintroduced this past week. And as soon as I saw what it was, I just had to get them on my program. But their weekly public access TV program is only a part of what they do. And they are real heretics, these guys. And they have thus been targeted by the SPLC and the ADL. And they are the object of articles or research papers, as they like to call them, in which by these groups, the SPLC and ADL, in which they are called, of course, racists, xenophobes, Holocaust deniers, all the usual stuff. So I'm very pleased to now bring on Jim Rizzoli, who will tell you all about what he's doing and how we, many of us anyway, can do the same and what an impact that would have all around the nation. So hello, Jim, and welcome to the Heretics Hour.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Nice to talk with you.
Well, I'm very glad to have you here. I think I'm just going to ask you to explain what you're doing, and I'd like you to kind of tell us in the beginning how long you've been doing this. When did you start, and what caused you to begin such really, challenging work, because, as you know, the mindset of the people is not receptive to it.
Right. Well, in regards to the Holocaust part of it, my brother and I have been involved in that issue for about 15 years. And so we've always had an interest in that, and that's always been on the back burner. But, you know, we really haven't been too vocal about that because the fact that, you know, when you work for a living, if you do get involved in that issue, you're going to be crucified pretty quick and out of business pretty quick. So I really didn't do too much with that, for a lot of years. Now, in regards to just our efforts, we got involved with immigration issues in Framingham. So that basically is what got us on the TV doing that. So we've been involved with those type of issues.
Yeah, let me just interrupt for a second because I failed to bring up where you were from and where you were doing this. And you are in Framingham, Massachusetts. And I'd like you to tell us, before you go on, what is the population of Framingham, and does it take in a greater area? Just what kind of an area do you...
Well, Framingham is the largest town in the country. It has a population around 67,000.
In the country, you mean?
In the whole country. Largest town in the whole country.
Okay. Oh, town. Okay, because it's town. All right, I understand. Sorry.
Yeah. And so we have approximately 67,000 people with an added probably 20,000 illegal aliens. So that it brings us up to even more. We're 20 miles west of Boston and probably another, we're 20 miles west of Boston. We're kind of like almost not quite in the middle, but I mean, we're in the first quarter of Massachusetts, in a good spot, you know, easy to reach. It's a very interesting town because it's a town that pretty much is taken over by Zionist Jews. So, I mean, it's completely controlled by the Zionist Jews.
Wow.
I mean, incredible, yeah. So they've been fighting us all the way from the immigration issues in the beginning all the way till now that we've taken them on. So now we're taking them on. And, you know, they really didn't say too much, in the beginning. You know, they didn't really, they went against us with the immigration issues. But now that we took on them, they're coming after us full-fledged.
Okay, and did you say when you started this, or what year you started your TV program? How did you get started with your TV program?
Well, in 2003, we got involved with immigration issues per se. Okay, we did that anyway, and then shortly after that, a year or so later, whatever, we started doing the video TV program and getting stuff on the TV. So, you know, we've been doing that for like six years, putting stuff on TV. And doing all that. So we've been very vocal in regards to our program on cable TV.
And how do people access that TV program?
Well, it's local.
You have it on the internet,
Yeah, it's local, but my website has all the shows archived. And if you go to my website, ccfiile.com, you'll see how to get to all the shows and all that. So everything's there, so you can watch the shows. Every week we have two shows, actually, but the weekly show we have, it's on like three times a week, and you can watch that show anytime on the internet at ccfiile.com.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to put this on these URLs on the program page. So you also, apart from the TV program, which is great, people can see it on the internet. You've gone out and done protests. And how many people do you have supporting you when you?
Well, we don't have many. We're kind of like we got the plague. Okay, so you know, if we get four or five people out with us, that would be a big group. Most people, particularly that we've taken on the Holocaust issue and the Jewish issue. Most people want to stay away from us right now, so it's really sad. And the immigration issue, even though I'm still involved in that, we don't really get involved in too many protests with that unless something locally has happened, because I just feel the immigration issue is just a minor inconvenience compared to the other issue.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So... When you go out and do these things, then you're running for office, though, right?
Yeah, I'm running for.
Tell us about that and what you expect to gain from that.
Well, in 2006, I ran for state representative and I lost. I ran for selectman at one time and I lost there too. I mean, that's to be expected. You have to understand the Zionist control lobby control the politics of Framingham. So obviously, it's going to be a snowball chance in hell for me to get elected here. But I still try, and I'm running for state rep again. And we'll see what happens. I'm on the ballot. I got on the ballot, and that's going to happen in November. So that's going to be a really big thing in the town when that happens.
Well, what kind of votes do you get?
I actually did pretty good, in the beginning. I remember I got like 1,000 votes. You know, there's only 5,000 people that come out to vote. So I didn't do too bad. But again, now that I took on this Holocaust stuff, it's gonna be real telling to see what happens. Because the Jewish people, most of them are the ones to vote. So I'm sure it's gonna be not too good, but if I get all the unenrolled voters out there, the secret people that get out and vote, I could win, but they don't get out to vote, so I don't know what to tell you, you know.
Well, can you tell us, about how many, the number of Jews in your community compared to the power that they seem to be exercising?
Well, it's not like we have probably a lot of it could be 20% of the population here.
That's
whatever.
High.
Well, I mean,
that's very high.
Well, I mean, there's a lot in the area in Framingham. There's no doubt.
Okay,
but they have control. They control everything. They control everything. So that's what's sad about it. I mean, you name it, they control it.
And so now, what kind of control do they have over the public access TV? Now, this is something called FRAC or something. I forget.
It's called Framingham Public Access TV, which is called, the abbreviation is FPAC.
FPAC-TV. And what is happening to you there in relationship to your public access TV station, TV program, and what tell us about that in a way that would help anybody else who would be thinking about doing that and are afraid to do it, to come on with controversial issues, because you have been doing it for all these years, and you keep going, and your program is great.
Right. See, the thing is, we do all our production in our house. See, we don't rely on the FPAC studio where most people have to do it. We're completely separated from them in regards to production. So if someone was going to do production, they would have to have a place to do it. We have a place to do it. We have the equipment to do it. We have very, very high-tech equipment to do a show. In fact, we have probably a better... I would consider ours could be like a Fox News type of production.
You mean when I watch your TV programs on the internet, and you've got that big background?
Is that the virtual set
in your house?
No, see the
what is that? Is that some kind of video?
But it's all generated by a computer. It's a virtual. It's called virtual set technology, which the high end companies use that all the time. Fox and all the companies use virtual set technology, and we basically use it ourselves. We're probably the only ones in the whole country that have a cable show that use that technology like we do anyway.
Wow, you guys are really talented, and you have invested, you must have invested quite a bit of money into all of this.
We've got $20,000 into this easy. I mean, easy.
And what got you going? Now, I think it's interesting. It was really interesting to me when I found out that you were twins. And I can see how wonderfully that works, because I think twins are so fascinating. And, you know, you're two people, but you think exactly alike, so you can work together beautifully. And that's gives you an advantage that other people don't have.
My brother Joe does all the behind the scenes stuff, the technical stuff to get this thing working, and I'm pretty much in front of the camera. I'm really not good on the technical end of it. That doesn't interest me, but it interests him. So
good.
You have to have somebody.
Are you identical twins or fraternal twins?
No, we're identical.
Uh huh.
Yeah, we're identical. Yeah.
So that's why you're both into the same thing.
Right. But getting back to your question about the FPAC station and what's happening with us here. In the beginning, everything was pretty much going along when we were dealing with just immigration issues. You know, they tolerated us. And there were complaints, but nothing bad. But once we got into, let me explain what happened. In November of 2009, I did a brief part of a show. We have an hour show, so I probably talked about 10 minutes about the Holocaust in it. And that actually is what brought the house down. What happened is I'm in a business network. It's called BNI, actually. I was in the business network, you know, for 15 years. In fact, I was probably the first one of the oldest members in BNI in Massachusetts. Well, what happened was there's a lot of Jewish people that are in BNI, and they didn't like the fact that some of them didn't like the fact that I talked about the Holocaust on my cable show. So what they did, within a week, they kicked me out of my BNI. Just in a week. I was gone.
Wow.
They didn't really care. I wanted to talk to these people to just kind of just say, well, let's talk it over and blah, blah, blah. But no, they just conspired to get me kicked out of the group because, see, our BNI meeting, we meet in a temple. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
So obviously, me being in that temple was like the devil, you know, being in church.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So they had to conspire really nice to get me out of that BNI, in which they did. So I lost all my people and all my friends, everybody in BNI, because nobody really stood up behind me, and that was the end of that. So all my 15 years being a good member of that BNI organization. Was gone and down the tubes just by having a 10-minute production on the Holocaust.
But like other of my guests that I've had, you didn't back down. You didn't say, "Oh gosh, I'm not going to do this because it's going to ruin my life and my business life and my social life and so on, my reputation." You kept going and you increased your Holocaust.
They don't understand that it made it worse for them. Because that's the point. See, if they didn't do anything, they would have been in good shape because I probably wouldn't have said much at all after that, okay? But the fact that they, conspired to kick me out of a group because they didn't like my viewpoints on a subject matter, I said, that's the end of that. And we came after them full-fledged, and we are pounding away every week against them, you know, against the ADL, against the JDL, all the Jewish-run, Zionist-run organizations. We are pounding them into the ground to no avail, and they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do.
Well,
now,
what are some of the things they are doing? Because I did hear you talking about this woman who is the president of the FPAC and how she is sending letters herself complaining about your program. Tell us about that.
Well, what they're doing is, see, they're trying to use the rules and regulations, which they change, you know, every 3 months because of us. They've changed the whole bylaws. They've changed all the regulations of the studio to fit us. And that's what they're doing. So everything that we do, you know, they're moving my show. They move my show from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock. See, they're trying to get it so that the children can't see the show. And then all my Holocaust videos, which are extra, I put on. They put those on at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. So they are, and then the whole board of directors, there's 11 people on the board of directors, and there's probably 4 or 5 of them that are Jewish. So what they're doing is they're stacking the deck of the board of directors with Jewish people. I mean, they're doing this, you know, right out, and that's what they want to do. And then now these Jewish people obviously don't like us, and they're doing whatever they can to stop us, you know, even though they're making it look like they're not, but that's what they're doing.
So what do you have on your side in the way of, what kind of support do you get, and also as far as your legal issues?
Well, none. That's it.
Really? There's nobody in that whole area that comes forth and says, hey, you know, I like what you're doing?
Oh, no. They all say they like what we do, but, I mean, you've got to understand this. Nobody in their right mind that has a job and has a family.
Oh, they won't. Yeah, they won't. No. They don't. No, they don't. They don't publicly support you.
Right. No, I get a lot of support. When I go one door to door getting my signatures to get on the ballot, I must have, you know, went to 600-700 houses. And the majority of the people supported me, okay? Mm-hmm. But they're not gonna say it out front because it's gonna be, you know, really bad for them to do that. So, you know, they're closet supporters. I have closet supporters, you know, because you'd be out of your mind to support me outright because it's really gonna bring a lot of harm to you.
So, do they send you any financial support, or do you just not ask?
I have only one person that's helped me financially. He's been really great, and he's given us computers. He's given us quite a bit of stuff, you know. And he's been a big help. But other than that, no, we do this all on our own, and we don't expect help from anybody. To be honest with you, I'm not doing this, you know, for people to support me. I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do. Whether I got a penny from anybody, that's not the issue. But we get by, and the bills get paid. And I'm happy, so I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, so what is pushing you, then, to do this? I mean, you say you're happy. What causes you? People don't understand this, and we need to talk about this more. People don't understand why people would do what we do, and particularly I don't know anyone who's more out front in this country right now than you are.
Right. Oh, no, we definitely are probably the most vocal. I hope my house doesn't get blown up. I worry about things like that. But the thing is, here's what it boils down to. It boils down to you have a conscience. And when you learn something that's wrong, it's either you do something with it or what. And I have to tell people the truth. And that's how I've been all my life. I just tell the truth. And, you know, I don't care what the odds are. I mean, and I think that, you know, most people, and you know, I don't want to make this a religious thing here, but you really have to depend, you know, on God to protect you. So, I mean, you got to look at it from that viewpoint, too. So you tell the truth because this really is a religious issue. You know what I mean? And I think biblically, you know, God has condemned the Jews, and, you know, he's not too happy about them himself. So I kind of feel I have him behind me on this issue. So, I mean, I really can't, you know, say that I don't have any backing, but I think biblically I'm backed up by what the Bible says and how the Jews have been rejected by God and all that. So anyway, I feel kind of good about that, I suppose.
Well, I think that probably a lot of people who in your town and who are aware of what you're doing and probably watch it sympathize with those kind of feelings, and they probably also see you as being a voice that that tackles local issues also, which need to be tackled, and you know, for when things are not being done right because of the powers that be running things. So that's probably why you do have a lot of support, and these Jews and people in power are going to have a hard time for that reason, possibly. So we'll go into more of this legally, and we'll also talk about how you can help other people like me and other people who are producing things to get them on to get our products on a cable channel without having to appear on there the way that you do. So we're going to take our break now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Jim Rizzoli, and we'll be back in just a minute.
We'll be right back with more on the Heretics Hour. You're listening to VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com.
Well, Greece faces years of painful cuts in salaries to return a multi-billion dollar bailout from the IMF and the EU. The country's finance minister called it a choice between collapse or salvation. The Prime Minister warned of tough times ahead, preparing the country for great sacrifices, which will include savage pay cuts for public workers and changes to labor laws. The May Day crowds in Athens made their feelings known. 7 police officers were injured and 9 demonstrators arrested during marches. There have already been deep cuts to pay and pensions to try and stop the country going bankrupt. But Greeks don't just feel they're being held to ransom by the EU and the IMF. They're also furious their government's reluctant to touch its massive defense budget. RT's Anissa Nawi reports.
Nick, 27 and overqualified, hasn't been able to find a job in Athens for a year. Most of his friends are in the same boat, drowning in the Greek debt crisis.
My generation is very skeptical about it because we now face a future that we have no pension, with lower salaries than ever, and with no light at the end of the tunnel.
In the face of collapse, Greece began to cut its public spending, starting with salaries, schools, and other social programs. And only in the last few days has the government said it will touch the country's enormous defense budget. Greece spends more of its GDP on military equipment than any other EU country. With some $400 billion of debt, claims are being made that any bailout from European neighbors or NATO allies means buying warships first. Well, some say it's the only way to stay afloat. Implications are flying that these deals help secure an EU-IMF bailout.
It's a very extraordinary situation. The same government, the same leaders who are pushing Greece to cut expenses, to cut our deficit, are pushing at the same time our government to buy more military equipment from their government or from their military enterprises.
Protesters claim Greece isn't fighting for its own national interest, but for third parties. Thespina Kutsumba is a member of the Greek Civil Servants Trade Union, a mother and an activist. She is now not only fighting to make rent, but on the streets, trying to get answers from her government.
We have NATO here, and NATO, Frontex, and all these global organizations that cost us a lot of money and make us spend a lot of money in it's not only the defense budget for buying weapons for Greece. It's also the defense money that we spend on soldiers that we send in other countries. What do they need, the Greek soldiers in Afghanistan?
Thespina wants answers because she wants a future.
Next year will be worse and worse and worse. we can have a control of our life. You know, I have a child, and I wanted, I'm 36 years old, I wanted to have a second child, and now I'm thinking, can I have a second child? Can I afford the house I'm living in?
And he's in our way, RT, Athens.
Let's return to the Heretics Hour, brought to you by VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn again, and I'm talking with Jim Rizzoli, who, with his brother Joe, is has got quite a few efforts and activities going on in Framingham, Massachusetts, and has been for the last 10 or 20 years. And they do so much to fight against illegal immigration, and they're even now exposing the Holocaust, and they expose what the Jews are doing and Israel and all of these things. We've learned a lot already, but now I want to ask him to really bring out for you listeners what advice he can give to others to strengthen their will and courage, because these guys show so much, you two show so much courage, and so many people are so frightened of speaking out. So what can you say to them to give them some more backbone?
Well, first of all, you have to be above board in what you do, and not be afraid, and be strong in what you say, because, again, the more you're out front and everybody sees what you're doing, the more actually the Zionist Jews back away from you. Because, again, if they come against you and you're out front with it all, then people are going to know it's them. If you're doing this behind mm-hmm. the scenes and you're afraid, well, what's going to happen? They can deal with you behind the scenes. And then you're not going to have any recourse. And, you know, I mean, I actually have a court case going on right now that this fellow, he actually stole my email address, not my email, but he took my identity and he posted me on a Craigslist site, all right, and he put me in a section soliciting sex with gay men. Oh. And he took all my identity.
Uh-huh.
He has emails and everything. And what happened was I complained to the police about it, and they didn't want to do anything about it because of me, okay, who I was. And I just said to him, well, look, if someone did this to your wife or your child, I don't think you'd be too happy about this. And I shamed him into taking the case. So the DA now is defending that case with me. It's been going on for 2 years, and we're still going to court on it because it hasn't gone to trial yet. But this guy, again, he took my identity, and I actually was getting calls from gay men to, you know, for sex. So I have this guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I have this guy dead to rights. But the point is, I didn't back down. You see, mm-hmm. when someone comes against me and breaks the law against me, I use the courts to the full to deal with them. We've taken a priest to court. We've taken another person in the FPAC video to court. Even though we lost those cases because, again, it's all, you know, it's a stacked deck in what was happening there. And now I'm taking this fellow here to court. But this case is even bigger because the police have a dossier on this guy 2 inches thick.
Who is this guy?
He's married to a Brazilian, and he didn't like me. He didn't like me because of my show, and he mm-hmm. attacked me, and that's what he did. But this guy's in big trouble. He's in big trouble. He probably has spent thousands upon thousands of dollars in court defending himself.
Oh,
he hasn't
good.
Even gone. So I nailed this.
I am so happy to hear you say this because I'm one who, and I haven't talked about it much for a while, but I very much believe that we need to use the courts, and we need to use the courts to go after those people who are slandering and doing things against us rather than being afraid of them. I mean, everything you say, I've come to that conclusion myself, that right. if you speak out, if you really believe that what you're doing is right and you are right, then why should you be afraid to say so? Then just come right out and say it and tell the truth as you know it. And, you know, people really, I've seen it happen with me, and I don't do anything close to what you do, but I have seen people, even if, even just in, on discussions, even just in a forums or something, if you just come right out, with what you think and what you believe, you know, these people that were trying to attack you and call you names, this is pretty soon, they just disappear. They go after somebody else.
Yeah, taking the chance.
They quit doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the point. See, we're not afraid to take anybody on. And there's even a guy even calling my house now, when the show's on, and he's, you know, being a pain. And believe me, I can go to the police right now, and I can get them on that case, and they'll track that guy down, and that guy will be in court too. So I'm not afraid to take anyone on, and they know that. That's why a lot of them are very, very, careful in how they deal with us, because I'm not going to mess around. I'll put the video camera right in their face. I'll come down to their house. Videotape them. I'll get them anywhere, and I'll get them on TV. Anybody that I even do this with, the police. The police hate us in Framingham. They're against
us. I was going to ask you about that. Now, why don't the police give you a little bit of support? Why
the police have taken me to court. The police have taken me to court on issues too, and I've beat them. But that's the point. See, the police are no friends of us. And because they have the police chief is Jewish, so obviously I'm
he's in one of those articles, and he didn't have a Jewish sounding name at all. Chief, I noticed that, and I thought, well, it looks like the police chief isn't. But now you're telling me he is Jewish.
I'm just saying. I mean, he's friendly with me when he meets me, but I mean, you know, they think we're racist, and they think that we're anti-Semitic, and they think everything against us. I mean, they're not in our, believe me, if they will come into my home any time if they can do it, believe me.
Well, see, my position is there is nothing wrong with being anti-Semitic if you want to be anti-Semitic. You know, people are anti all kinds of things.
Right.
And it's never been the kind of crime. And so this thing of being afraid to be anti-Semitic is just silly. And to be racist, well, if you have certain racialist beliefs, there's lots of scientific information to back that up, and actually real life information. So there's nothing wrong with having racial ideas. But see, it's one thing for people to disagree with that philosophically or politically or whatever, but it's another thing to make it into some kind of a evil thing or some kind of a morally wrong, morally defect, a moral defect.
They want you to become like them. That's the problem. And if you don't toe the line, then they get upset with you. And the thing with us is we don't toe the line of anyone. Okay.
Well, why did the police support all these illegal aliens in a community? I cannot understand that.
Well, because they don't remember who's the police chief.
Well,
I mean, you know, you got to understand that they're all.
What about
they're all,
when they're not Jews? Sometimes they're not Jews, and they still do it because, of course, that's the power that keeps them in office, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you got to understand, the illegal immigration situation of Framingham is a racket. Everybody's making money on it. That's the reason why nothing's happening, because of it. So, you know, that's how it is. So we understand that. So,
yeah. Well, what about the Brazilians? Why do you have Brazilians in Framingham?
Well, what happened is 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the Brazilians trickled in here and they made a beachhead. And then when they saw that they could get away with everything they're getting away with, now they made Framingham the beachhead of all the illegal immigration in Massachusetts. So now they all come through Framingham first. This is where they come, they get situated, and then they branch off to all the other towns later. So they pretty much have been given free sway in Framingham because of the politicians allowing them to set up shop here, open up businesses, and do all the illegal things that they do. Framingham basically is a big criminal syndicate. That's all it is, okay? It's a criminal syndicate. Everybody's involved with it. The police are involved in it because they turn their head to it. The politicians are involved in it because they don't stop it. It's incredible. The people that own the real estate and the property and all the business people are involved in it because they're making money on it. It's a money maker. That's why they want the illegals here. And that's why a lot of the Jewish people own a lot of the properties, are the ones that own a lot of things here and the businesses. That's why they're involved in it, too. They're all part of the scheme here.
Mm. Okay, let's talk about how you do this, how this public access TV works. It's in I know it's in my community. My first question is, can you get on, like, say, I... I live, let's say around 100 miles from a large metropolitan area. Could I get a show on a public access channel there?
I'll explain what we do with Full Disclosure. Have you ever heard of Full Disclosure?
No, I can't say.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a program that's on in California. Leslie Dutton asked us from California if we'd play her shows here. So we sponsor her shows on our cable station. So the question that you asked is yes. If you get somebody that lives in that 100 miles from you in mm-hmm. that district, they can sponsor your show if they belong to the station. See, so that's what you do.
Okay. And you can say, and you said, or Joe told me that for a radio program like mine or like so many of these radio programs that we're producing, they can be put on with just a screen picture or something and just played on public access TV, just the audio playing, right?
Right, right. What I recommend all you folks do, what you do is you do just what we do. Put a show together, a half-hour show or an hour, and then make, you know, we can show you how to do it all. And then you make the DVDs, you give it to them, and they have to play it. So you can have a show on once a week, you know, visual. And believe me, if you think radio is good, wait till you get on video because you can blow them apart with the video. They'll go crazy, you know, with the video.
Yeah, but you have to have a lot more technical ability. And for someone who doesn't know how to get into that or doesn't have the time or whatever, then can you just put on...
We could do it for you. If you gave me a video of you sitting in front of a screen or on a set, you're sitting in a chair in front of, you know, with something in front of you, just set up a nice background, put a dark background behind you, put some lights on you, put a video camera on you, and you give me that video, we could produce it for you. We could take your video and produce it. It's really not that complicated.
We can do the audio, too.
But we can do it audio, too. We can do just a plain... If you gave us an audio file, we could put the audio up and a picture of you, your website, and we could do that, too. You don't have to, you know, go to all the extremes, either.
Uh-huh.
But either way, we can get you on TV. It's not a problem. I mean, all these people out there that are listening, if you really, really want to have, you know, fight for the cause, go to your local cable station, join it, then you can produce your own cable show and give it to them, or give them yours. In other words, they can just take yours and put it up. You see it? Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, every single one of them could represent you. And so if you had 100 people that were in a cable station there and belonged to it, they could take you and your video and get it up on all those stations because they're sponsoring it. See, they could.
Yeah, because
that.
So what you're saying is that these public access cable cable things are their membership. I mean, you have to join it in your community. You have to be a member of that community to do it.
Right.
You have to show that you're a member of the community. You can't just come from outside and say, I want to get on your... Yeah, so that's good. Those are good rules. And that's why you have to do it in your own community or have somebody who is a member of their public access program thing in that larger community put it on for you. Yeah.
Yeah, so what we're going to do with your video today is we're going to take what we're doing with you and we're going to play it in our show. You see how we do
that? Okay, yeah. Well, that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. So that's how, you know, that's how we'll do that. See?
Okay. Well, Jim, is there anything else that you can tell us about? How about your political campaigning and your opponent and what's going on with that?
Well, again, you know, she's bought by the Zionist-controlled town, and, you know, she's going to get 3,000 votes whether she shows up or not. So it's going to be tough to fight her, but... This woman here is against everything that we stand for. She's against any Christian principle you can think of. And, you know, she's backed up by a lot of people, the big people in the town. So, you know, I'm coming in here saying, look, I'm against all this. You know, if you want to go along with my thoughts on these things, fine. If not, you're going to have the same old, and we're going to go bankrupt. There you go. Simple.
Yeah. And so you think that your town is in trouble financially?
Oh, our town is going down. It's going down. Yeah, and they don't think so. You know, they don't look at the elephant in the room, and they're not really seeing. You know, our school budget is in the hole pretty badly here. We're spending $25 million a year on an $85-90 million budget to educate illegal aliens, but not once have anybody commented on that. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, and the paper there, your what is your newspaper there?
Yeah, the Metro West Daily News.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they had an article just very recently. In fact, I have it right here. It was just about a year ago. They ran an article on how you were added to the hate group list by the SPLC, right?
Yeah, yes. And we're on the ADL site now. We got our names on the ADL, which is a badge of honor, if you ask me.
And then you have a friend who in Brian Kamenker.
Yep.
Mass Resistance, he's in another town, but he's also sort of fighting some of the same. Well, a little different. He's fighting same-sex marriage laws, and
he probably wouldn't agree with
more religious. Yeah,
yeah, he wouldn't probably agree with us on the Jewish issue, because he's Jewish.
No, he's pro-family. Oh, he's Jewish.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's pro-family.
Yeah.
Well, that's usually Christians who are doing that.
Well, right, but he's a little different than most of them, but again,
is everybody Jewish? I mean, you can't find anybody doing anything that isn't Jewish.
They control Massachusetts. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true. Well, what else can you tell us about what you're doing in the last few minutes that we have?
Well, basically, like I said, we the people that are listening to the show, don't think that you don't have the power to do something and make a difference. You do. Either support people that are doing it, okay, or being more vocal, and I said going to the cable companies, getting in there yourself, and then putting shows on. Again, we can actually give you shows to put on. I mean, there's all sorts of things. You can play our show. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do. So, I mean, don't think you can't do anything. It's very important to see that, we have the power to change if the people rebel and do something. But the majority of people just are sitting back and letting the country just getting destroyed. And you just can't do that. I mean, we got to really, really protest this, I mean, some
yes,
people...
Yes, more people... You know, if people would understand that if we had people like you guys speaking out in many communities all around the country and really just coming right out with it, it would just change the way it all looks, because it would show that people are saying, I come out and I talk about this, and I don't see any reason why I shouldn't talk about it, and I'm talking about it. And instead of this, we can't talk about this. Why?
Right.
This is the biggest thing we need to change, because many of our people think that they have to just hide out and just read things on the Internet and pass little notes around on the Internet and hope for some kind of miracle somewhere.
You gotta get on TV. See, and I'm not talking cable TV.
And I hate TV. That's my problem. I don't have TV in my home. I haven't had TV in my home since 1980.
I
don't watch these things. I see it on. I have to see it on the Internet.
Right, but see, we basically have been on the mainline TV programs. I mean, I'm probably the most visual person on TV that's doing this, because I'm always on TV. I was on
I've seen you have interviews and so on. Yeah. Yes, you're right.
That's the point. See, once you get on mainstream TV, people are going to see you. And but again, you got to make noise to get on TV. I mean, you have to really kind of plan it accordingly. I mean, if you stand up to the Zionist control lobby, believe me, you'll get on TV. Yeah, because that's a story. Because no one's doing it.
Yeah, and the other thing about you is that you never go too far. You don't get into insulting people. You're always, it's clear that when you say things, it's the truth, or you believe it's the truth.
Right.
And you have just the right balance between being very truth telling and bold and saying it like it is without being offensive. And they really can't call you on that. They can't say, well, this guy is is being a scumbag on here or something, and they can't get at you. They're not able to really take you to court, are they?
No. They can't, because everything I say is true, and I try not to make it too personal, even though I will say things about people, they're evil, or they're this, or they're that, fine. But you got to draw the line. Let your information talk for you. That's the important thing when you do a show. The information's more important than the person that you're talking about. See?
Would you consider doing a segment on your TV show about this information about Elie Wiesel being an imposter. I mean, it's the documents.
You could put
the documents up on that screen that's behind you. This would be a fantastic program.
Because it's all there. I'll talk about them. I mean, I'm all... In fact, we're getting a book, and we're going to use all that stuff in that book.
My little book.
Yeah, that book will be really good. You'll see. We're going to put some really good stuff together on this, and I'm going to attack him like nobody's business. Don't worry. I mean, you know, we'll do it. You know,
I'm going to make sure you have all the latest information on him, but you might already have it. But this would be great to see what would happen. They'll go crazy over that because, like I said, when this one fellow at Chapman University saw our friend's flyer, he blanched. He blanched when he saw that information. We've got Elie Wiesel cold, and he's a big name, you know.
Yeah, I'll take him on. Don't worry. Like, what I'll do is I'll even put it on YouTube, a part of it on YouTube, just to nail him. You know?
Keep me informed about all this so I don't miss any of it.
Oh, no, we'll do that. Like you said, we got plenty to talk about. I mean, there's not a dull moment around here what we have to talk about.
Tell me about how you go after Israel as a criminal state.
Well, what I do in my show is one of the things when I start talking about Israel, I always will start it off by saying Israel is a murderous, terrorist, apartheid state. Simple as that, okay? And if any of you people out there support Israel, then you're supporting murder, terrorism, and apartheid. Simple, okay? So, I mean, that's what I say about Israel. I say, I'm not against Jewish people per se, but I'm against Jewish people that support Israel because you have to have your brain examined to support Israel when you see all the things that they have done. You know, the United Nations has sanctioned Israel how many times? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, Israel is a bad, bad country. I mean, to me, it's the devil. Israel is the devil. That's what it is. I mean, if there's a central spot where the devil is located, it's Israel.
Well, you know, you've got it there. You're right. And see, that's the way to put it. That's the center of their operations, and every horrible operation goes on there. Everything horrible, like you said, that you'd think about in hell, goes on there. And we need to say these things. We can't be afraid to say these things. And that's why they jump on. That's why they are accusing now, in their clumsy way, really, people who, if you criticize Israel, you're being anti-Semitic. You're just, you hate Jews. And because they know that. And the same reason with all of this Holocaust stuff and everything, they have to hold that stuff together or they're going to just crash apart. And, of course, my vision is that they are going to be crashing, in my lifetime, and I'm going to see it. And so I'm getting more enthused about it all the time.
Well, I think divine intervention is going to happen with the Israelis or the Jews, because see, you know, you understand, you know, biblically speaking, God has it in for him. He's not going to put up with it any longer. So, I mean, their end is near because he's had it with them. I mean, they've ruined this whole world. I mean, it's simple as that. If they don't want to hear it, too bad. But that's why when I feel like I'm kind of like saying what God is saying. I mean, you know, this is what he feels. If you don't like it, don't listen to it. So.
Yes, I asked your brother I thought you two would be Catholic, but he said that you used to be Catholic, but you're not really Catholic anymore. But you are. You are believers, and
I'm a Christian. So. I mean, I consider myself an independent Christian because I really don't agree with a lot of the Christian religions on how they operate politically today. I don't think they've really taken a biblical stand on anything. And so you really have to look into the scriptures to see what they're all doing wrong. And you know, I don't want to make this into this issue now, but I know what the Bible says on issues, and I stand by them. And I don't even care if the Christians don't like to hear it either, because
the churches are a part of this. I mean, the churches the churches in your community sign all these proclamations against you. They support the Jewish power elite. They oppose you. So what's going on there with these?
Well, that's
churches.
The point.
You know, they're
churches have been hijacked by the Zionist control lobby, and they think that they're doing something right by backing the Zionist control lobby here. But what they don't understand is that the majority of the Zionists are atheists. Why would you want to back anybody that is against God? I mean, this is absolutely crazy. And, you know, again, these, I don't consider them Christian. They're apostate Christians. So, you know, when I talk about them, and believe me, I've come against them too, you know, they can say what they want. They're not Christian in my book. They're apostate. So.
Yes. Okay, well, Jim, we have now run out of time. So I want to thank you so much and your brother Joe for coming on. This is Jim and Joe Rizzoli, ladies and gentlemen. And you need, I'm going to post all the links to where you can see what they're doing on the program page when it goes up, which will be shortly, still tonight, I hope. And so, Jim, thank you, and I hope we will talk again.
All right, thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. Bye. Good night, everyone. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. The Heretics Hour returns Monday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Join us at ReasonRadioNetwork.com.